Back in the 1970s, a chemical called vinyl chloride was linked to fatal brain cancer in industrial workers in Texas. It was the largest cancer cluster ever seen in a workplace. The World Health Organization concluded that vinyl chloride causes brain tumors, and federal safety regulations were put into place to shield workers from vinyl chloride's toxic effects. But a generation later, scientists are arguing that the clear link between vinyl chloride and cancer doesn't exist, and the famous cancer cluster from Texas has been dismissed as an unusual, unrepresentative case. These industry-funded studies have begun to dominate research on industrial chemicals and overwhelmingly favor industry claims of safety, and in some cases have omitted data that would have shown a direct connection between exposure and diseases like cancer. David Heath is a senior reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. The center's investigative series, Science for Sale, is out this week.
This all started because I actually went to hearings at the EPA where their job is to evaluate the toxicity of chemicals, and it's that science that they need before they can enact any new regulations. And I would go to these hearings, and these hearings are completely dominated by industry scientists. And, you know, essentially these scientists almost always say these chemicals that, you know, that are sort of well known are safe. Things like formaldehyde or arsenic or hexavalent chromium or and the EPA, like one example is the EPA, Congress actually passed a law in 1996 requiring the EPA to update its analysis of arsenic. And that analysis is not yet complete. So it's been, you know, 20 years. And because when the EPA, every time it tries to issue its analysis and it finds that a chemical is more dangerous than we thought, it comes into this quagmire of industry scientists saying, no, you've got the science wrong. You have to go back and look at it again.
Now, you would expect in government hearings about chemicals that industry is producing that there would be industry scientists advocating one position. Why aren't there alternative positions?
There's really no money for the alternative position. I mean, there's people in academia who would do sort of the countervailing research. First of all, there's just not as much money for that kind of research. And for the most part, no real academic scientist wants to spend their time researching chemicals that are well known to be dangerous. And these are often the chemicals where, you know, that the EPA is still struggling to regulate. So there's just not the resources. Industry has, you know, essentially unlimited resources to protect its products, and there's not anything on the other side to countervail that.
And is that because something once was on the other side and has vanished in times of government belt tightening, or is this a case where the industry has really just sort of taken over?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of both. So you have science that has been done, maybe in some cases decades ago, there was a lot of science showing that, you know, arsenic causes cancer, for example. And arsenic is something, by the way, we're all exposed to. We all consume it on a regular basis. It's in rice, it's in water, and the EPA, for example, has found that arsenic is much more potent than we thought. But they haven't been able to issue that opinion, and they haven't been able to do anything about it because industry scientists keep throwing roadblocks up and saying, no, you've got it wrong. You need to go back and look at it again. And the EPA, with the help of members of Congress and so forth, is sort of rendered powerless.
Is this the same tactic that has been used politically in climate change, where continual studies and continual open questions sow doubt and keep a conclusion from ever coming down?
Yes, it's very much like climate change, although I would say with climate change, most people sort of know that these climate change deniers are, I mean, that's bogus, you know, and that people who accept that are really, I mean, that's really a political decision that they're making just to deny science. With chemicals, it's much more subtle because you can make seemingly legitimate arguments that a chemical is safer than we thought. And, you know, with climate change, you have thousands of people looking at this issue all the time and issuing new studies all the time. But with, say, hexavalent chromium, there's just not that many people looking at it or trying to respond to what industry is saying.
What does hexavalent chromium do to you?
Hexavalent chromium is best known as the chemical that was featured in the movie Aaron Brockovich. And so it's been studied for many, many years. It's a group 1 carcinogen, according to the World Health Organization. And it's well known that if you breathe it, I think there were studies done that go back decades that if workers who breathe it in plants, they were getting rates of lung cancer at the rate of like 25% or something like that, were getting lung cancer from it. It was like doing things like burning holes in their nostrils and things like that. And then the question that's been raging ever since the film is whether or not drinking it also causes like cancers, stomach cancers and things like that. It seemed like government scientists had found through animal studies that yes, it does. But that decision, that opinion has been held up and it's never been formally issued, so there can be no regulations taken on hexavalent chromium. And again, hexavalent chromium is something that many of us are exposed to, like in drinking water. It's a common chemical that's found everywhere.
Finally, based on your series, Science for Sale, that's out this week from the Center for Public Integrity, what's the track record on the studies that you looked at? In how many cases did they rule against chemicals that were used in industrial processes, and how many times, what percentage did they rule in favor of the industrial chemicals?
We looked at one company. It's called Gradient. It's got a lot of ties to Harvard. A lot of the people that work there used to teach at the Harvard School of Public Health. And we actually analyzed their published research. And 98% of the time, they found that chemicals essentially were safe at the levels that were exposed to them. So 98% of the time, they essentially found that the EPA or FDA or whoever didn't need to do anything.
David Heath is a senior reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. The center's investigative series, Science for Sale, is out this week. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.